Welcome to the Fastest 5 Minutes, presented by Kroll and Mooring. We are your co-hosts, David Robbins and Peter Ayer, bringing you a bi-weekly summary of significant government contracts legal and regulatory development that no government contracts lawyer or executive should be without. Last month, the Defense Innovation Unit Experimental, or DIUX, released a report outlining efforts during the fourth quarter of fiscal 2017, which included just shy of $200 million in awards for 59 pilot contracts and, really uniquely, 2 follow-on production contracts in the areas of autonomy, artificial intelligence, human systems, information technology, and space. The report states that DIUX, with support of Army Contracting Command of New Jersey, awarded each pilot contract through a roughly 90 calendar day process from first contact with the company. DIUX also reported that the majority of funding for these projects came from DoD partners and that there had been an increase in private sector R&D funding, as the 59 companies that it has on contract account for roughly $4 billion in private sector R&D funding. Furthermore, as of September 30th, DIUX and Army Contracting New Jersey have transitioned 2 of the 59 pilot contracts to follow-on production contracts, making the first time DoD has ever awarded a production contract under its other transaction authority. So, where does this take us? I think it means this program has legs, even in a constrained funding environment. You might recall earlier this year, there's a lot of people questioning whether DIUX would continue. Now, you have to wonder how far the current fascination with OTAs and expedited acquisition authority will go. It has some of the hallmarks of the historical pendulum swings back and forth between commercial item procurement and more traditional government procurement, and like the pendulum direction changes are as much in response to overreaches and scandals than anything else. But either way, it's a fascinating time to be following OTAs.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. And increasingly, we're hearing from clients who have never thought about these OTAs before, trying to explore whether OTAs are the right fit for them, how the agency is buying things. So I agree, you know, as our clients are trying to understand how OTAs work and how agencies are buying them, there are going to be more questions and trying to understand how OTAs work in conjunction with the FAR. So I agree. I think there's a lot of interesting stuff going on right now in the world of OTAs. So we turn from OTAs to bid protests. On October 16th, GAO sustained L3's protest of a Navy issuance of a task order to Leidos for operation of the Navy's towed array facilities. L3 alleged, among other things, that the Navy acted improperly when it issued that award to Leidos, given that Leidos required certain proposed new key employees to enter into binding arbitration agreements as a condition of employment. In support of its allegation, L3 relied on a provision of the FY2010 NDAA, which Congress has subsequently reenacted through identical provisions, which precludes expenditure of funds on any contract in excess of $1 million unless the contractor agrees not to require employees to arbitrate certain employment claims. GAO sustained the protest, citing to a lack of evidence that the Navy had given that meaningful consideration, had a copy of the Leidos arbitration agreement before making award, or sought or obtained a waiver of the requirements as contemplated by statute prior to issuing award. So this decision is another really good example where we see convergence of protest and labor and employment issues within the government contract space. David, over to you.
After months of signaling that a change to the Department of Justice's QITAM practices was imminent, Michael Grantston, director of the Civil Fraud Section, announced the change during a presentation at the Healthcare Compliance Association's Healthcare Enforcement Compliance Institute on October 30th. It's a mouthful, but it was an important change that he announced. DOJ will now move to dismiss a QITAM complaint when it concludes the complaint lacks merit. Although announced as a means of conserving judicial and litigant resources, we also wonder if the apparent change is spurred by a concern over the creation of bad law under Escobar's materiality standard, and whether that's a driving force behind the decision. Given that DOJ rarely exercises its statutory authority to move to dismiss a QITAM complaint, it should not be difficult to ascertain whether DOJ's announcement is, in fact, a sign of a real shift in its enforcement tactics. It'll be one to watch going forward.
Absolutely. So now we turn to something for our international trade buffs. Last month, the Department of State announced the revocation of economic sanctions on Sudan and the government of Sudan under Executive Orders 13067 and 13412. The Department of State cited the government of Sudan's sustained positive actions to maintain a cessation of hostilities in conflict areas in Sudan improve humanitarian access throughout Sudan, and maintain cooperation with the United States to address regional conflicts and the threat of terrorism. The revocation became effective on October 12, 2017. Now we turn to a tidbit for the category of we'll believe it when we see it. On November 1, 2017, General Gus Perna, the commanding general of the Army Materiel Command, stated that the U.S. Army is shifting its IP procurement approach and exploring whether to purchase technical data rights underlying procured equipment. General Perna suggested that, although obtaining these rights will increase upfront costs to the government, it will increase efficiency and lower sustainment costs by allowing the service to expand its options for developing or obtaining spare or repair parts. In furtherance of this goal, AMC is engaging with industry, ensuring partnerships with Army acquisition executives, and working with lawyers, contractors, and other stakeholders. David, over to you.
I think that category is the right way to phrase it. We'll believe it when we see it. I remember sitting in on peer reviews within the Office of Secretary of Defense, AT&L, when I worked in the government, and there was a lot of knockdown, dragout, not quite fights, but at least heated discussion about what data rights, what IP rights were actually needed, and the cost trade-off. There's no one-size-fits-all that even works here. So I wonder if this policy makes much sense, or it's just a way to cajole people to consider these things up front.
And I do think it's an important discussion to have, because we are increasingly seeing the government ask for categories of data rights that really don't make sense in conjunction with what is being delivered. So regardless of what the outcome is, I think it's a good conversation to have, and I know certain stakeholders in the industry welcome the opportunity to talk in a more realistic way about IP data rights.
Fair enough. All right, well, before we close, let's announce a new periodic, occasional podcast feature called Ask Us Anything. If you have questions you'd like answered anonymously, do you want our thoughts in general on a particular topic, just send in questions. We'll do our best to feature them in a future podcast. Obviously, this will just be for discussion purposes only. We can't give legal advice unless and until we have an engagement letter in place. All right, our lawyers tell us we have to say that, but the point is we want to use this feature to make our podcasts even more tailored to your needs. I'm happy to take your emails. Just email them to me, to David, at drobbins, D-R-O-B-B-I-N-S, at kroll.com. And with that, this has been The Fastest 5 Minutes, brought to you by Kroll and Mooring. See you again in 2 weeks. If you have any questions about these items, I can be reached at 202-624-2627, and Peter at 202-624-2807. Have a great week.
The Fastest 5 Minutes podcast is brought to you by Kroll and Mooring, LLP. Subscribe on iTunes, and if you enjoy our show, please leave us a review. You can find more information at kroll.com/govconpodcast.